Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned today. During the first hour, Dr. David Healy, author of the book Pharmageddon. We're going to talk about the pharmaceutical agenda. Anytime we have someone who's inside breaking ranks and talking about the pharmaceutical agenda, I love having them on the show because while I can decry it all day long, it's more meaningful when we have these learned individuals coming forth and talking about it openly. During the second hour, Dr. Jared Scarron will be on, and we're going to be readdressing autism and autism spectrum disorder. As you know, the statistics just came in that 1 in 88 children is now a victim of autism spectrum disorder. We're going to discuss, first of all, if those numbers are meaningful, but more importantly, what parents can do, because we do know that autism spectrum disorder is on the rise. So we'll be doing that during the second hour. Just want to mention that AgeForce, a sponsor of this show, is having a buy one, get one free on their new transdermal fat burning patch, which has the peptide portion of growth hormone known for its lipolytic effects, TYR somatostatin, or as it's known within the drug industry, AOD-9604. A buy one, get one free on this amazing fat burning patch is available at superhumanradio.com. Summer is right around the corner. You want to look good in that bathing suit. This can help. Okay, my first guest is Dr. David Healy. How you doing, Dr. Healy?
Hi, Carl. I'm fine. How are you?
Fantastic. And good. I'm probably fantastic because I can proudly say I take no pharmaceutical drugs.
Well, that helps, I guess. Yes, definitely.
First of all, what made you write the book Pharmageddon? Let me back up. You are within the mental health industry, correct?
Yes.
You are a psychiatrist, a psychologist? Which one?
Yeah, I'm actually a professor of psychiatry.
Okay.
I work in the UK, and the areas that I deal with and have been dealing with for the last 30-odd years are drugs like the antidepressants, the mood stabilizers, the antipsychotics, and drugs like that.
And so you've been watching, I guess, quietly, the proliferation of these types of drugs like SSRIs, and we can get into a little bit later in the show whether or not you even believe the serotonin hypothesis is accurate for its effects on disorders like depression. But you've watched the number of these drugs being introduced and being prescribed, I would imagine, over your career, correct?
Absolutely, yes. Things have changed hugely in the course of the last 30-odd years. Very, very few people. Back when I trained first, very few of us knew people who were on the antidepressants or drugs like the mood stabilizers. Now, most of us know a bunch of different people that are on these drugs. Things have changed hugely.
What's even scarier is the number of children, and I say children, you know, under the age of, let's say, 18 years old, that are being prescribed antidepressants today as well.
That's true. Actually, it's even scarier again. It's children down to the age of one. And you even have enthusiasts in the field who say they can pick up this illness in children in the womb and would possibly consider treating people that early. So the whole thing is unbelievable, really.
Now, as a professor, I would have to imagine there must be some pressure in your curriculum or in the school that you teach to not offend the pharmaceutical industry? Is there not? Don't pharmaceutical companies contribute a great deal to the schools and institutes that teach medicine?
Well, it's a complex one, that. They do indeed, yes. And there is pressure not to offend the industry. But part of the problem is this. It's not just saying bad things about particular drugs. Part of the problem we have that a person like me would have, or that you would have if you were to go in to try and teach the courses, is this, that in order to get grips with what's going on, you've got to be rational. And the pharmaceutical industry don't just make drugs. They control rational debate in the sense that they run all of the clinical trials
yes.
that bring the drugs onto the market. So when you're trying to appeal to the evidence base, what you turn to is journals that are full of articles that extol the virtues of the latest drug, and there's no articles which show evidence-based medicine advocating non-drug treatments, partly because it's awfully difficult to do clinical trials in that kind of area. But ultimately, the ultimate problem that we end up against is this, that industry are allied with what appears to be the rational forces within medicine, and it's terribly risky, awfully easy for a critic to end up sounding quirky or are slightly outside the scientific pale. And that's actually part of the problem.
You know, the other part of the problem in getting people to, and I sympathize with doctors in this particular area. Getting people to comply with just taking a pill is difficult. Telling them that they have to make lifestyle changes because that is what is leading to their disease, whatever it may be, is even more difficult. And so quite often people, and I say this fully understanding that it's the masses that make this exploitation process that is promoted by the pharmaceutical industry even possible to begin with. Because if people were willing to put a small amount of effort into learning about their own diseases and understanding how they occur and the things that affect them, and they would probably find that there's lots of things outside of pharmaceutical drugs that could help them. But they don't do that. Most people are quite like sheep, and they were actually looking for someone to tell them, here, just take this pill and that's it, which gives the pharmaceutical industry a great opportunity. Because very few people want to take responsibility for their own health. They'd rather give it to somebody else. They don't want the burden of that.
Sure. I think the issues are, yes, I think the points that you've outlined are absolutely true. But how we've got there has been fairly complex. And it began 30 to 40 years ago when industry were producing pills for illnesses that could kill us, you know,
mm-hmm.
acute bacterial infections and things like this. But if you didn't take a pill, if you took a lifestyle approach, well, you'd end up dead.
Right.
And partly because of that, we've ended up slipping into a world where we think pills are the answer for things, when in fact, most of the pills we're being encouraged to take these days aren't pills that treat illnesses that we actually have. They're pills that treat risk factors for illnesses that we might get. Previously, if you took a course of treatment for a bacterial infection, you'd be on treatment for a week until the illness cleared up. But if you're treating a risk factor, often you're treating it for months or years or decades maybe. If you're treating an illness, the industry knew that if you had a heart attack, if you had a stroke, if you had an infection, there was a sort of a few 100,000 people that had these, but there were 100 times more, or maybe even 1,000 times more people who had a risk factor for these.
Interesting.
So it's a much bigger market. And the other thing is this. Usually when we had an illness, we only had one illness at any one point in time. But with risk factors, you can have four or five risk factors all at the same time. So from industry's point of view, it makes wonderful sense to move us over slowly from treating illnesses to treating risk factors. But what they've been able to do, and what's been really hugely successful from their point of view is they still convey the same moral force that, you know, for instance, if you had tuberculosis, you really should get this treated because
right.
you risk passing it on to others. In the same way, they've almost been able to create the same moral force that you should have your cholesterol levels treated, because if you don't, well, you're really not being moral. You're not being...
Yeah, you know what's
these
funny?
These are things that should be treated.
Yes, the advertisements for cholesterol drugs quite often bring the family of the person into the view. You know, and the wife saying, and I'm glad he's taking care of it now. And so they make you feel that you're derelict of your duties to the other people who depend on you if you don't pay attention to these things. We have to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to start talking more about the book. The book is called Farmageddon, and you can get it just about anywhere out there on Amazon.com. But you also have a website that I'm going to give the URL. It's rxisk.org. So mm-hmm. kind of like a joining of the words RX and risk, rxisk.org. Can the book be had at that website as well, Dr. Healy?
It isn't on sale on the website, but that's a really good idea. Maybe we should make it available through the website.
Yeah, or even a link to the Amazon.com page
yes,
where the book
it's
is.
There.
So
it's
so
there.
Check that out. Go to rxisk.org. We'll be right back with more discussion about the book Farmageddon with Dr. David Healy.
Hey, give it up to Sammy Salmon and his amazing...
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murapuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of Pure Whey Protein Isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. David Healy, author of the book Pharmageddon. Dr. Healy, you took the word pharma, pharmaceutical, big pharma, blah, 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 and you joined it with the word Armageddon, which implies the end of times almost. Why that name? Is it really that? Are we really in that kind of peril here?
I think we are. We've seen a huge change in the cultural medicine. Back 20 to 30 years ago, we had a world where if you were ill, you used to take your problems to your doctor. And you'd usually see the same person each time. And this person would know you and the community from which you came and could judge when the issues were to do with the stresses that were happening because of the factory closures or whatever. Now we're in a world where healthcare treats the numbers as opposed to treating the people that come through the door. And because your doctor's looking at the computer screen and the numbers from the latest blood tests or bone scans you had, they often aren't looking at you at all, and they don't notice that there's a change in you from week to week, a change that could be a critical thing for them to notice. They also often don't know the community from which you come, because the people who run healthcare figure, well, if the job for doctors to just look at the numbers and give a pill that puts the numbers right, we don't even have to have the same person there from week to week. Anyone can look at the computer screen.
Right.
So we're in a world often as well where doctors before, which wouldn't ever have happened before, they write out to us and give us problems. They call us in for screening, for bone densities, for our respiratory rates.
Yeah, my father used to say, if you go to the doctor, you'll find that you're sick. And there's an old saying, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And it's very true.
Absolutely.
It's very true.
Absolutely. Yeah. And increasingly, this is a thing that's been engineered by the pharmaceutical companies. A thing that brings this out really well is the treatments for osteoporosis. When I trained first, and I worked in an orthopedic clinic, which is where you would see the broken bones of women who had true osteoporosis. But we used to only see about two or three women per half year. Now we're told that one-third of the women over the age of 50 have osteoporosis. Why? Well, when the companies who had osteoporosis drugs began to market them, what they did was they didn't just sell the illness, they went out and gave doctors bone scanners for free, because they knew once doctors began to measure women with these bone scanners that they'd turn up areas of bone thinning, and the measurement would give both the doctor and the woman a problem for which a pill becomes the easy answer. Now, we know now, 30 years up the road, that often if you take these pills for 4 to 5 years or more, you increase the risk of a fracture rather than reduce the risk of the fracture. And all these, the women over the age of 50 who've been told that they may have osteoporosis spend their time not exercising, not going out and mowing the lawn and things like that, because they figure if they do with their bones that are brittle, they're at risk of a fracture. When
right.
In actual fact, exercise of this sort is just the kind of thing that would be much better for them than pills.
Oh, yeah. It signals bone mineral uptake dramatically. I mean, there's been research done with the loading through exercise and the effects of drugs, and the exercise has a more profound effect on adding bone mineral density for these women. You know, and I have a special concern. It's funny you bring this particular drug up. I have a very, very special concern about these drugs, because these drugs quite often are very, very powerful. They're long-acting. They affect the parathyroid and calcitonin production. And they and some of them now, in an effort to become more convenient, you only take one dose every 6 months, which means that if you're a person who has an adverse reaction to that drug, you can't just simply stop taking it to avoid the adverse. You have to live with that adverse reaction for possibly up to 6 months or longer. These are very scary drugs.
Absolutely. And the things that can go wrong on these drugs are actually pretty scary. You can get a thing called osteonecrosis of the jaw.
Yes.
Your jawbone literally begins to rot and die. Now, if you're on a version of these pills, which means that it's going to keep on acting for the next half year, this is grim news.
Yes. It's very, very dangerous stuff. How do doctors, in your opinion, how do doctors resolve themselves to the fact that the drugs that they're prescribing quite often carry side effects that are quite more dangerous, if you will, than the actual illnesses that they're supposed to be treating in the first place? How do you know? Hippocrates said, first do no harm. And if anything, the pharmaceutical agenda does only harm in their event to try to, as you put it so eloquently, treat risks.
Yeah. Well, and this is a key point. One of the things is that one of the old hallowed phrases was, every drug is a poison, and the art of medicine lies in trying to find the right dose. But one of the things we've done is we've made these drugs available on prescription only. And this is a means of laundering the risks out of drugs. I mean, the risks are there still. These drugs are available on prescription only because we have every reason to think that they're going to be much more dangerous than alcohol or nicotine or cocaine. But in actual fact, most doctors end up thinking that they're reasonably safe, reasonably harmless. Why? Well, one of the odd things here is that the true consumers of drugs aren't you and me. As far as the pharmaceutical industry are concerned, the consumers are doctors, the doctors who prescribe the pills. They consume by giving them to you and me. But there's a crucial difference here. When you take a flight from Louisville to Los Angeles, you've got a pilot on board, and she is crucially concerned that you remain safe on this particular flight.
Yeah, because he's on the flight
don't
with
get
you.
There in one piece. She doesn't get there in one piece.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with doctors, and most people think doctors are even more concerned than, say, pilots, but in actual fact, the doctor can give you the pill and you can be killed by it, and she's able to say, well, it could have been the illness. You know, we don't know what the pill that caused this. She's not injured. And we've engineered a world where doctors consume the drugs without having any side effects at all. And the things that happen to you and me are things that they can disregard as things that were caused by the illness they were trying to treat.
And that's the sad part. I saw this firsthand with my own father. My father was of a generation where if the doctor told you to take it, you took it. And at the end of his life, he was on 11 different medications. And many of them, he didn't even need to be taking a cholesterol med at 88 years old and dying. It had no value to him. And the idea that polypharmacy may be a greater threat to the elderly than the diseases that doctors are treating. What is your opinion on that?
Absolutely. You've hit the nail on the head here. And this comes through most clearly in people over the age of 50, maybe even over the age of 60. What you find increasingly these days is that doctors treat people according to the guidelines for an illness. And they may treat the person's asthma perfectly according to the asthma guidelines. And they may treat their diabetes perfectly according to the diabetes guidelines and their hypertension according to those guidelines. But the upshot of this is that we end up with people on 10, 15 or more drugs. And we know that once you go over 5 drugs per day, you hugely increase the risk that the person is going to be injured or killed by the pills that they're on, to the point where drug-induced death is now the fourth leading cause of death.
Yes.
We know of, and may even be a greater cause of death than that. What we need are guidelines for people. And this is the thing that we just don't have at the moment.
I'm of the opinion that this is solely a U.S. problem. I was under the opinion that abroad, in other countries in the EU and UK, that the pharmaceutical industry didn't have the hold on the market the way they do here in the U.S. Is that an incorrect assumption, Dr. Healy?
Yes, it is. I think in the States, you've possibly... what you've done is you've been able to lead the way so that more people are on more of the latest drugs and in greater combinations than you find elsewhere. Partly because within the States, there's a greater belief in progress than there is elsewhere. And this has led to the point where in the States, where you had the best life expectancy in the world up to the 1960s, now you don't. You've dropped down the league tables, way down the league tables. But having said that, if you ask the pharmaceutical industry where they prefer to market most, would they prefer to market into the socialized and insurance health systems that we have in Europe, or would they actually prefer to market in the States? They prefer to market into the socialized systems that we have in Europe, because they can control those even more than they can control things over in the States. So we are rapidly moving down into much the same kind of problems that you've pioneered.
Yeah. How long has the book been out? We're going to go into a break. How long has the book been available now?
The book's been available for about the last 2 months or so, and it seems to be doing well at the moment, and there's interest in the issues.
I want to talk to you when we come back from the break a little bit about perhaps the attitude that you're getting from some of your colleagues and the professionals in the industry about the things that you've spoken about here today and written about in the book. We're talking with Dr. David Healy. He is the author of the book Pharmageddon. And as the name implies, pharmaceutical drugs today may actually be what brings down populations around the world. Who knows? You can get the book at Amazon.com or wherever finer books are sold. And please visit the website, rxisk.org. That's rxisk, like the word risk, but with the prescription symbol as the first two characters, .org. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used the blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of the blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the blueprint 2.0 and 3.0 plus ongoing support on the blueprint forum to ensure your success.
From the iconic metabolic expert Dr. Scott Conley comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking today with Dr. David Healy, author of Pharmageddon. So, what are your thoughts on... I forgot the question I asked you before the break. Isn't that wonderful? Obviously, I could use some more caffeine today. That's my drug of choice, Dr. Healy.
Yes, it's a good one.
And it is a drug, there's no doubt about it. What I really wanted to also ask you about is this. Oh, the opinions of your colleagues and other people, because obviously, you know, no one wants to upset the apple cart here. And everybody, doctors don't become doctors because they want to be involved in this racket. They become doctors because they want to help people. But then they become indoctrinated through the medical school process, and they come out the other end laden with debt, and then it's just a matter of doing the right thing, keeping your head down, working, and paying all this debt off, which means that you've got to be a good boy and girl and follow the agendas. So now you come out with this book, Pharmageddon, right? What are your colleagues saying to you?
Well, there's actually a few things here. First of all, one of the things that may be a little bit surprising to your listeners is this, that I've had a great deal of help from within the pharmaceutical industry.
Really?
There's a lot of people within the industry who are unhappy with the way things are and have helped me out in terms of helping me with various documents, leaks, insights, and things like that. But coming back to my colleagues within mainstream medicine, one of the issues here is that when you and I, say, go to our doctor, what they aren't trained about is this, that they hold us hostage. The only way that we can get the drugs we need are through them. And we feel this great need to keep them happy so that when, for instance, they may put us on a drug and they ask us how are things going, and in fact, if things aren't going wrong, that's the time we're most likely, if they are going wrong, that's the time we're most likely to actually say to them, well, no, they're going reasonably okay, because we don't want to make the doctor unhappy. This is a thing called Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And the curious thing about it is that doctors as well are caught in the same bind vis-a-vis the pharmaceutical companies. What you have is a world where industry controls all of the evidence, and an awful lot of doctors feel that they control the possibilities of us being able to develop our careers and things like that. They look at people like me and see that we've lost jobs when we've spoken out about the risks of drugs, and they say, well, it's a bit risky to do that kind of thing. You know, we don't want to make industry unhappy. So one of the things that I've been trying to do in recent years to try and bring home to my colleagues what the issues are is that they really should be speaking out about the risks of drugs, because if they don't, if these prescription-only drugs are risk-free and they work extraordinarily well, well, we don't need high-paid experts to prescribe them.
Yes.
They can be given out by nurse prescribers or people who will be much cheaper. So, in a sense, doctors, by not speaking up about the problems on pills, are potentially committing professional suicide.
Mm.
One of the other issues, though, to bear in mind is the indoctrination that you referred to by industry isn't just the thing that happens when they go to medical school. It's what happens when you come in to get treated for a particular illness and your doctor turns to the scientific evidence. What do we know about this drug? What do we know about its profile in terms of things it's good at treating or what the risk factors could be? So they are being genuinely scientific. What they find, however, is that industry have failed to publish half of the trials that have been done, maybe. In the case of the trials that are published, close to 100% of these are ghost-written. And often to the point, the ghost writers have often been so skillful that they've been able to take a trial that FDA would have regarded as been a negative trial for the pill, and they polished it around so that it looks like a glowingly positive trial for the pill. The problem for doctors then is that in order to be rational and to give you the best possible treatment, when they look at the evidence in the best journals and written by the best experts, they find these articles that talk about giving Paxil for children who are depressed, maybe, ultimately have what we've been finding out in recent years is that articles like this, which are glowingly positive for the drug, often when we get to see the raw data behind it, are negative. The drug didn't work. So that's the bind doctors are in. One of the things we're hoping to do with risk.org is to create the kind of forum where people can report adverse events that happen on the pills that they're on, but with a view to taking the report back to the doctor that put them on the pill and getting the doctor involved in the kind of teamwork with the patient that once used to happen, and helping support both the patient and doctor by giving them feedback on the fact that maybe hundreds of other people have reported this particular problem on the pill, and giving also the feedback that hundreds of other doctors have said, yes, we think there is a link between the problem that you're having on the pill and this pill. In essence, we're hoping we can get doctors and patients to provide the missing data.
You know, my show was founded 8 years ago on research. I would have scientists and doctors on my show who published research, and I'd have them on instead of some talking head reading a press release. And I would say to them, so, basically, what do you want the audience to take away from your research? And over the years, I've started to distrust research, only because when you use critical thinking skills, certain things just don't stand up. And I often wonder to myself how doctors ignore one of the most important parts of science, which is critical thinking, and just go with research unabashedly. And it stifles me. I've done less and less in the way of having researchers on the show because my trust in epidemiology is gone. I mean, you can have endpoints set up and get to those endpoints and dispose of, as you put earlier in this discussion, of the important data that means something totally different. And so why don't doctors apply more critical thinking skills? Why aren't doctors saying, 150 years ago, we didn't have any of these problems. What's going on here? That, asking the right questions is where you start.
Absolutely. And one of the things you'd think that would lead them to do just that is that increasingly these days we have illnesses that come out of the blue. We have illnesses like osteoporosis, which a few years ago weren't there. We've got illnesses like bipolar disorder, which a few years ago was there, but it was rare. We've got illnesses like restless leg syndrome, which a few years ago, well, it was an obscure footnote in the books, but now has become apparently an epidemic. Doctors, you would have thought, would be the kinds of people who would say, well, look, this just isn't reasonable. This doesn't hang together. What's going on? But unfortunately, it's good for business
yes.
for them, but good for business in the short term. If they don't restore,
trust.
If they don't get back to being somewhat more skeptical, they're going to lose the credibility
right.
that they used
right.
to have.
Right, I agree, and it's put upon doctors to restore trust. That's why I said my dad took the drugs that the doctor told him to take without question, because doctors were completely trusted. Now, I'm not sure that life is like a pendulum. It goes
yep.
very far to one side. It goes very far. And really, ultimately, we're trying to find the middle. And so quite often you have to push as hard as you can in the opposite direction so that you can find the middle. And I feel like we're at one of those pendulum swings right now. We're at an extreme. We're at an extreme right now where everyone distrusts the medical profession. Everyone distrusts the pharmaceutical companies. More and more people are starting to ask the right questions. And at the same time, I understand that these drugs do possess a value. You can't just say all drugs are bad. It's their administration and the style of administration that makes them problematic. We have to take a commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you, because I know that you're not against drugs completely, right? You use them when necessary.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
So
yep.
what is a responsible way for a physician to use a drug like, well, I want to ask you about SSRIs and get into this discussion when we come back to the break, because this is actually a two-part question. We're talking with Dr. David Healy. He's the author of Pharmageddon. The book is available everywhere, including Amazon.com. Also, please visit the website RxISK.org. So RxISK.org. Check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Dr. Jared Skarin. We're going to be talking about more information on autism. We'll be right back.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy and disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. David Healy. Later in the show, Dr. Jared Scarron. Dr. Healy, what is your opinion of SSRIs and the whole serotonin hypothesis and its linkage to depression?
Okay, well, this is these drugs can be extremely useful, Carl, but the number of people that are actually benefited by them is actually extremely small compared with the number of people that does get given the pills. 20 to 30 years ago, before this group of drugs came out, the number of people who were thought to be clinically depressed and in need of a pill was roughly 1,000th of the number of people that are thought to be clinically depressed now and at risk of being put on a pill. So you can see there's this enormous change there. In terms of the number of people that get put on the pill, we know that half of them that get put on the pill halt within a month because the pills just don't suit them. They
right.
don't help. They make them feel worse. Of the people who end up on the pills for a lengthy period of time, there's a huge number that end up on the pills just to keep their doctor happy. They're not actually being helped by the pills,
right.
but they've been told that they need to keep on having these things for weeks and weeks before they work. And when they then try to stop, they find that they begin to feel worse because they become physically hooked to them. And this is a particular issue for the women of childbearing years that get put on these pills, because if you get physically hooked on them and then get pregnant, there's a hugely increased risk that your child's going to have a birth defect, or that you're going to have a miscarriage, or that an issue that you're going to pick up later on in the course of the program. There's increasing evidence that the pills increase the risk that children will go on to autistic spectrum disorders.
Right.
So these are terribly serious problems. At the end of the day, the tragedy here is that these pills can be helpful. There are people who, if we can use them reasonably wisely, will be able to save their lives, their marriages, their jobs and things like that. But there's probably a much greater risk that in the case of the people that we use these drugs for, that we're going to put at risk their lives, their marriages and jobs.
You know something funny? When my dad died, my mom became depressed, and her doctor wanted to prescribe an antidepressant. And I said to her doctor, well-meaning woman, you know, she's just following direction. I said to her, she has a reason to be depressed. She just lost her husband of 60-somewhat years. Yep. And this notion that we should never be sad, and I've said this on the show before, and I'm sure my audience is tired of hearing it, but suggesting that someone take a pill because they're sad when they've lost their job, lost their spouse, lost their home, lost their dog, you know, or any of the other myriad of things that sadden us in a day is akin to me walking into the movie theater while you're watching a funny movie and you're belly laughing and stepping up to you and saying, you really need to take a pill. You're really way too happy. It's you know, sometimes sadness is an appropriate thing. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen to us.
True. Well, the thing I think is this, too. I mean, we can add to that. I mean, you know, I think the point you made is really excellent. But if there was a pill that truly took care of the sadness, that really put it right, that would be fine. Except the SSRIs don't do this. They don't put the serotonin system right. There really wasn't ever any evidence that there was anything wrong with the serotonin system in the case of people who are depressed. This was just marketing copy from the industry. What the drugs do is to make the serotonin system highly abnormal. What they're rather like is this. I mean, if we were actually to say to people who are grieving, maybe that you should take alcohol. Most people would know that, well, yes, the occasional drink of alcohol during a period of grief can be helpful and things like that, but it isn't the kind of thing that I should be taking every day of the week, and I shouldn't be keeping on with it for months and years. Things can only go wrong. But in actual fact, the trials that brought the SSRIs onto the market were the kinds of trials that were so loose that I could easily pilot alcohol through those trials and bring out alcohol or nicotine on the market as an antidepressant.
I'll be darned.
But the only reason that you don't use them in this way is that you know the reputation of these things, and you know that it isn't a good idea to be taking them for that kind of purpose. In the case of the SSRIs, people don't really know this, and they've been told by experts to suspend the natural caution that they have with drugs like alcohol and nicotine and take one of the SSRIs to treat it rather like they might treat vitamin serotonin. But these drugs are not vitamin serotonin.
So what do you well, first of all, what is going to happen? I mean, the last chapter of your book simply is called Pharmageddon. So what could happen if this continues to go the way it's going? If things just continue to spiral and get worse and the path doesn't change, what's going to happen?
Okay, well, I think there's a few things that need to happen. One is we can try to put things right from the top down. And that's where we're going to need the leaders of medicine, or the leaders of healthcare, our politicians, really get wise, because a great deal of the problems we have at the moment come from a system that was put in place 50 years ago following the birth defects caused by a sleeping pill called thalidomide.
Right.
We put product patents for drugs in place then. We need to revisit that and see if the rewards we're offering the pharmaceutical industry are just too excessive. If they were really producing the kinds of pills that we needed, that would be fine, but they're not. The next thing that needs to be looked at is whether prescription-only arrangements should remain in quite the way we have them now. If they do remain, we at least need to educate the doctors that make their living out of this, just as to how the pharmaceutical industry markets to them, because there's not a medical course on earth at the moment that teaches trainee doctors how they're being marketed to. And the third thing is that the data from controlled trials that get done on these pills remains hidden, and we need to insist on access to the data from these trials in which people like you and me take risks with new pills on behalf of the communities from which we come. We do so thinking that outside experts, independent experts, will be able to see what the true profile of these drugs are, and we probably wouldn't get involved in the trials if
right.
we knew that the data was being hidden. And the final thing we can do, and this is the point that comes out in the book, is a great deal of the reforms we've had up till this, and the great deal of hope we've had, has come from women, mothers of children, wives of husbands who've had their children, their husbands, their families injured by pills, have done more than any other group to take these kind of causes to FDA and Congress. I think patients reporting adverse events on drugs and building up the missing data is one of the ways that we can possibly change things from the bottom up.
When you were doing your research for the book, did you happen to look at Mexico at all? Any of the statistics, any of the data on the pharmaceutical industry's grip on Mexico? Because Mexico is a place where you don't have to go to a doctor to get a prescription for anything outside of narcotic drugs and some benzodiazepines. But I mean, I could walk into a pharmacy and buy tetracycline. I could walk into a pharmacy and buy Lipitor. I can walk into a pharmacy and buy hormones. I can buy injectable testosterone and estrogen. And quite often, the pharmacy attendants are well versed in these things, and the person will say, "Well, these are my symptoms," and the pharmacy person will say, "Yeah, that's what this is for," and they buy it themselves and they try it. And guess what? If it doesn't work, they stop buying it. And we don't see the number of deaths over there from these drug misuses that everybody would proclaim would happen if this happened. Did you see any data on Mexico?
No, I didn't. But you've actually raised an extremely good point, which is that, for instance, most of the antihistamines that people can get over the counter here in the States are drugs that are SSRIs also. Most of the SSRIs that are sold to treat people who are depressed are antihistamines. They all come from antihistamines, but the SSRI antihistamines are much more likely to lead to, to acts of violence, maybe school shootings, people going out to commit suicide, and a range of other problems, precisely because of the reasons that you've just outlined, which is, if I get my SSRI antihistamine over the counter and I find it doesn't suit me, I stop having it. But if I get it from my doctor and he says to me, "Well, even if this seems not to be suiting, you need to keep on having it because it takes a few weeks to work," then I keep on having it. And often he'll say, if I actually seem to be worse, that maybe we should double the dose, which is exactly the wrong thing to do if the pill is causing the problem. This is what leads to a great deal of problems. And at the moment, we're not training doctors to recognize what's going on and how to handle it.
Yeah. I think it's been a wonderful thing that you took the time to write this book. I think that we need a certain mass of physicians to produce the gravity that we need so that that the citizens of countries realize that you should not just take a drug because your doctor tells you to. And this comes full circle to something that I've been preaching on the show for a long time, and that is you have to take responsibility. You can't go in anywhere and simply turn your health over to someone else. You have to have a modicum of information and knowledge about this sort of stuff. But I think it's really important that people from the inside, like yourself, like Dr. Jim Manganiello and others, speak up. Because then what happens is it's not just those of us on the outside decrying it, and it looks like we have an agenda. When the people on the inside start decrying as well, then it's like, wait a minute, maybe we should pay more attention. And actually, pharmaceutical companies are in the business of making money, and they will sell us what they want to sell us until we stop buying it, and then they'll sell us what we want. And that's what has to happen here. People vote with their dollars. They vote with their decisions, and they need to question more readily before they just take a drug because someone says, "Here, you need this drug."
Absolutely. I agree completely.
I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on the show today.
Carl, it's been really great to be here with you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you so much. Okay, so We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we will be talking with Dr. Jared Skaron. Please take a look at the book Farmageddon. It's available on Amazon.com, and also please go over to the website rxisk.org, which is Dr. David Healy's site, and check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy to maintain gain. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard to find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My next guest is a fan favorite. He is naturopath, Dr. Jared Skaron. He is also the author of 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child, which is available on Amazon.com. How you doing, Dr. Skaron?
Oh, great, Carl. Good to be back on the show.
And a very, very important, we wanted to do the show last week, but you're buried alive literally with patients all the time. And so we're doing it now. But last week, there was research released by the CDC that indicates that the possibility of autism spectrum disorder may strike 1 in 88 children, which is a startling number. Let's address this first before we get into our discussion, what parents can even do about this. Is this a fictitious number? Is this just a broadening of the net so that more kids fall into this gap? Or is it really a correction this is what's been going on, but they've been ignoring a lot of these kids?
You know, every 2 years, the CDC has been monitoring the number of kids on the autism spectrum. And obviously, there's been a lot more kids who are being diagnosed. You know, and if pediatricians don't know what something is, they're more inclined to diagnose something as autism rather than something else.
Right.
However, the first person you need to ask are the teachers in the schools, and they will tell you the number of kids with the developmental delays is just booming.
Yes.
Booming.
And I got to tell you something. I am distrustful of all government agencies with the exception of the CDC. And I'm going to tell you how I feel about the CDC because I monitor the things that they put out. I feel like the CDC is Cinderella, you know, really the good one, but kind of kept in the background except when they want supporting information. The CDC is great, breaking some fantastic ground in the area of insulin resistance in this country. And they're the first ones to open their mouths about a lot of things. They don't always make it into the mainstream the way this particular story did. And I commend them for this. When I was listening to a recent radio show on NPR, and they were talking about autism spectrum disorder, and one of the talking heads there was saying that, oh, this is nonsense. It's not autism spectrum disorder. It's something else. We've made the litmus test too broad sweeping. You know what? I don't care what you call it. More and more people are having children with these types of learning disabilities. Something is wrong. And trying to splitting hairs about what name to give it is idiocy.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. It's totally, a word game, whatever word you want to call it. And when I talk to parents, I say, I don't care what the name of it is, because the only thing that diagnosis is going to give you is get you services paid for. I want to fix the problem. And that problem is exploding exponentially.
Okay. So when this all came on the scene, we had so many people coming out with, you know, what they thought. And again, we're a society that looks for a silver bullet. We want to know what the one thing is. What's causing this? What's the one thing causing this? And I have my own opinion on this. But in the beginning, it was there was a linkage to digestive issues. That seems to be a common denominator that all autism spectrum disorder children suffer from. Then it was vaccines. Well, vaccines are causing these. I'm not so sure about that now. What new research is there now?
You know, there's so many different triggers out there. The newest thing that came on the news the other day was obesity is a risk factor for autism.
In the mother.
Yes. And most of these risk factors are going to be associated with the mother because the only thing that the father gives is genetics.
Yes.
When you look at that, you know, you've got 9 months in the womb where you're.
Dr. Scarron, are you still there? I think we may have lost Dr. Scarron. Huh. Okay. 9 months in the womb. We're going to have to do something. We're going to have to just play a little music for a second. And I am going to reconnect Dr. Scarron. Hold on a second here. Live radio at its best. Okay, Dr. Scarron is back. And if we have a problem, Dr. Scarron, we can always go to a landline, okay?
Yeah, sorry about that.
No worries.
You're on Skype calling in.
No
sure
worries.
What happened. Where did you lose me?
Okay, you were saying that the mother carries the child for 9 months. And I was actually about to make a joke and how appropriately I lost the connection because what I wanted to say was yes, and the father carries the child for the rest of its life. But anyway, okay, so the mother carries the child for 9 months. This forming embryo is in the womb, in the environment. And so whatever the mother subjects herself to, in theory, some of it, I know some of it doesn't cross the placenta, correct?
That's exactly right. So, you know, we've got to look at everything and how is it crossing the placenta, how it's not. But again, this research that came out actually last November, and I just put it on your Facebook page for people who want to take a look.
Okay.
We've got antidepressant use, SSRIs, which are Lexapro, Prozac, Celexa, the most common antidepressants, are associated with a twice the risk of having a child with autism.
Wow. See, and this is what I think it is, too. I really think it is the environment of the womb. Now, I'm not saying just SSRIs. I have a funny feeling that the mother is being exposed to a plethora of toxins and insults that predisposes a child. And these toxins can be RF related too. They can be electromagnetic related. Like, there's good research out of Europe and Sweden actually that shows that fetal mice exposed to as little as 8 hours of cellular telephone radiation in the standby mode are born without mirror neurons. And the mirror neurons are what allow a baby to look at its mother smiling and smile back and realize that its face is mimicking its mother. And this is one of the symptoms of autism spectrum disorder, is it not?
It is. It is. There's so much talk about these mirror neurons. And again, like you said, mirror neurons mean I look at you and I do the same thing right back to you because I act as the mirror. And we have no idea. I'm glad you brought up these electromagnetic things. We have no idea what these cell towers are doing. Or I go into Starbucks and I've got Wi-Fi shooting around me. We have no idea. And I'll tell you, I don't let any of the parents, the mothers in my office, have a cell phone in their pocket. They've got to put it in their purse.
That is, you know what, they really, I gotta tell you, the purse they carry on their shoulder and it radiates right into the side of their body. I really feel like for 9 months you gotta leave the cell phone in your car. Leave it on your desk. Leave it at your table. Don't carry it on your person. If you wanna have a baby that is, that clearly has lower risk of having some of these issues, you're gonna have to give up your cell phone for 9 months. That's the way it is. You gotta give up drinking for 9 months, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
What other new research is out there? The SSRI one was shocking to me. I didn't realize that. What else is going on out there?
Well, again, the most recent one that came out is the obesity. I'm not sure if you heard that before I got cut off.
Yes. And let's talk about that. You're building a baby in an insulin resistant environment. You're building a baby in an environment where angiotensin, a converting enzyme is going through the roof. You're building a, especially when vascular pathways are being built, you're building a baby in a pro-inflammatory environment. We know that obese people have all these issues. You're building a baby in a blood pressure driven, environment. All of these things, you're building a baby under these. It's kind of like, it would be kind of like trying to build your house while Katrina was happening and being amazed why you couldn't get the thing up.
It's true, you know, and what I want parents and especially mothers to understand is what is that baby built of but you and everything that you eat. And if you're going to McDonald's or you're eating bad fat foods, that child's brain is going to be made of the bad fat that you eat.
Now
if
let's talk about that for
bad
a second.
Fat,
talk,
you got a bad brain.
Talk more about the bad fat. Talk about there are mood changes in people who have imbalances in omega-3s, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, this is why fish oils have just been around for, you know, decades now in being researched for helping for emotions and moods, because you need the right fat to make the right myelin to support your brain health, because all those little electrons need to be on the nerve and surrounded by that blanket of fat. I mean, what I tell my students at school is when you've got your cord to your lamp, you don't get electrocuted when you touch your cord because it's wrapped in rubber. It's wrapped in fat to insulate the electricity, just like most of your nerves are wrapped in a good fat, a myelin sheath. And if those electrons aren't working, you're going to be depressed. You're going to be moody and other neurological things are going to happen. And it's these kids. We've been eating Skippy peanut butter for three generations.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden we've got bad brains that've got ADD and autism and developmental delays.
And see, we could get into this, the whole nutritional linkage, which I really think has more to do with it than anything else. But, okay, so not every child who has a predisposition to autism spectrum disorder will develop it, correct?
No, there needs to be a trigger. And that's why there was all the conversation about the vaccines, because for a lot of kids, that was their trigger. But I see kids with autism that never had a vaccine. They had a different trigger.
And so the bottom line is, if your child has a predisposition to autism spectrum disorder, it requires a couple more insults to kind of the straw that breaks the camel's back. Do you feel that paying attention to detoxification pathways at the same time, while not loading your child up with toxins, can actually push back the possibility of the autism spectrum disorder going into full-blown disorder?
110%. I mean, detoxification is one of the three major treatments that we use. And again, you talk about the prenatal environment. It was a great study that came out of Texas. The closer you are to a farm that sprays pesticides, the higher the risk of autism and the worse the severity of autism you're going to have. There's huge associations with toxicity and autism.
Okay, here's what I want to do. Obviously, there's even more people out there who have children with autism, according to the CDC. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to try to do a Reader's Digest version of what people can do, what parents can do, what you do to help parents, both if it's possible to reverse symptoms of autism spectrum disorder and or deal with it. We're talking with Dr. Jared Skarin. He is the author of the very, very popular book, 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. You can get it at Amazon.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
The ingredients in Halo Extreme come right from the folklore of the Eastern Bloc athletes whose strength dominated the Olympic Games in the 60s. Halo Extreme contains oral turinabol, which increases strength, muscle hardness, and muscle mass while not converting to estrogen or DHT. Iron Mag Labs combines this with a powerful ectosterone called 5-alpha-hydroxylaxigenin that has shown to increase protein synthesis by up to 200%. Halo Extreme is a great choice for beginners to advanced users looking for low side effects and crisp, lean, easy to maintain gain. Go to ironmaglabs.com today to order Halo Extreme.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Jared Skowron. We all know somebody who has a child that's suffering from autism spectrum disorder. I know a whole handful of people. It's just shocking. Before we get back to the interview, I just want to remind everybody, AgeForce, a major sponsor of Superhuman Radio, they help make this show possible, is running a buy one, get one free for their transdermal fat burner patch, which contains TYR somatostatin, which is the lipolytic portion of growth hormone peptide, otherwise known as AOD9604. And you can get a buy one, get one free at superhumanradio.com. Check it out. The summer is right around the corner. Be prepared to put your bathing suit on. Okay. So, Dr. Skowron, you wanted to come back and just cover something about the CDC before we moved on, right?
Yeah, and to tell your listeners, we got some Facebook chatter going on. So if you are on Facebook, get to Carl's site and join our conversation. But back to those stats that the CDC put out. I've got a few things I want to make sure everybody understands about the statistics. Well, the first one is that the data that CDC just put out, the 1 in 88 data, is from 2008 kids. So it takes 4 years to process this data until they finally get it in. So we won't know about what's happening today until 2016.
Holy mackerel.
Right? Now, that's just how it takes that long. That's just what it does. But we need to understand that we're looking into the past.
So it's already worse than we think it is, in other words.
I think it's already worse than what these numbers show. Now, the numbers are, and most people know, you see boys with autism as opposed to girls. That boy number is 1 in 54. That's practically 2%. That's huge.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount of autism.
This is really, really sad. Amir Rozic just posted at that comment, this is really some scary stuff. And
yeah,
it's true. This is really, this, you know, I don't care what epidemic we have in this country right now. I don't think any is more serious than this one. And I'll tell you why. Not just because of the sheer numbers of children that are affected by it, but just project out the cost to these families to care for these children, the cost on society to help these children matriculate and become part of society. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is really scary. Call it what you will.
It is scary. And you know, it's funny you bring up the money, because the CDC study talks about the economic costs. Right now, it's about $50,000 a year to handle the medical and other costs for a child on the spectrum. But what's going to happen in 30 years when these families can't take care of their kids? Where are those 2% of kids boys going to go? They have to go to some home.
Yeah.
That's where the costs are going to come in if our families can't take care of these kids, or if we can't figure out a cure.
Well, now, and a cure or managing as well. The other thing that people need to realize, because we don't want this to sound like a doomsday show, is that if you get off of the allopathic approach to treating these kids, which doesn't work. It clearly doesn't work. A lot of the drugs are very, very harsh, hard to find the right levels. They work for a while, then they stop. It's a roller coaster ride for the kids and these families. But if you avoid the allopathic approach and you start to look deeper, you'll find that there are nutritional protocols that allow these children to lead normal lives. Is that not true, Dr. Skowron?
That's my practice. My practice is practically completely kids on the autism spectrum, and we get improvement, and we don't use the word cure, but that's our ultimate goal. And the worst thing that I see, because there's not too much conventional pharmaceutical therapies for autism, is the ignorance and the closed-mindedness that they don't want to look at anything else if it's not a drug. I don't care. We've got the research. I mean, decades, even since the 1950s, vitamin B6 and magnesium have been researched and proven to help symptoms of autism. If you've got studies that are 70 years old, why aren't you opening your mind to them? Because they're not a pharmaceutical, and I hate the closed-mindedness.
Well, it's not. It's a closed wallet. No one's going to pay a doctor, I take that back, pharmaceutical companies for magnesium supplements or vitamin B6 because they can buy it at their store.
Right.
And that's why there's no investment in this type of treatment. So what other information do we need about to understand about the CDC research?
Well, the other thing is to understand, why is it more boys than girls? And it's because of the toxins. Testosterone holds on to toxins in the body compared to estrogen.
Yep.
And even mothers who have more testosterone than mothers who don't, or who have less testosterone, mothers with higher testosterone have a higher risk for kids with autism.
Isn't that something?
Yep, it's the toxins, like you told about.
Okay, All right. So do we want to, talk any more about the CDC's research, or do we want to move on and give parents some hope to hang on to?
Let's move on to the hope. I just wanted to explain so everybody understood the numbers that we're looking at.
Before we can do. Before we talk about the hope, I want
to
talk about your practice for a second, because I didn't realize that your practice was that deeply involved in autism spectrum disorder.
It is, just because that's the number of kids. When you have 2% of boys with autism and parents looking for an answer, that's who I see.
When parents come to you and you don't prescribe strong, powerful drugs, but instead say, you know, we've got to look at this type of diet, we have to look at these supplements, do you lose many of them? Do they go, you know, this guy, obviously, none of this stuff's going to work?
No, I don't. And the reason is they love their kids and they want to do anything possible to help them as long as it doesn't hurt their kids, you know, and we prioritize natural therapies because they work better. You know, some parents are not, you know, don't come in with that faith ahead of time, and that's okay. I, you know, again, anybody who's open-minded and willing to try something, we work wonders. And I'll tell you, we do so much lab work on these kids, analyzing their brain, analyzing their nutrition, analyzing their toxins, that we get the answer right in front of us. And it's all logical once you see it.
Interestingly enough, somebody just messaged me and said, we've started B6 and magnesium and have seen some improvements with our child. So that's interesting. They're just this is really profound. So how much improvement will you see with the B6 and magnesium? Is it's noticeable, but is it enough to say, okay, we're done now, let's focus on living our lives, or you still need, is there more work to be done?
No, that's the tip of the iceberg. And that's what's great, because, you know, you do something like B6 and magnesium, which has been in the research for 70 years, and you see the improvements, and you know there's going to be more improvements because there's so much more to do on top of that. But that's a great start. And the biggest hurdle that we have with the kids is compliance, because whether it's a drug, whether it's a food, whether it's a vitamin, if it doesn't taste good, these kids with sensory issues will not eat it or not drink it. So that's our biggest hurdle. But B6 and magnesium are pretty innocuous. So it's something easy to start and get in them.
What about grains? Is it wise to avoid grains and things like that? Or is that just, people are reaching?
Well, you know, gluten-free, casein-free diet is the most common and well-known diet for kids on the spectrum. So avoiding gluten is a great start. Now, it works for some, but not all. The kids it works the best with are the kids who have a high pain tolerance, and for kids who are just kind of absent and staring out the window.
Hmm. Now, Amir Arozic posted on our Facebook here. Does Dr. Scarron use the GAPS diet with any of these children? What's the GAPS diet?
The GAPS is a pretty serious, intensive diet that really restricts a lot of carbohydrates. You know, it's a lot of protein. It's a lot of good fat. You know, you start out with a lot of soups in the beginning of the diet. It's pretty extreme. It's more extreme and more restrictive than the gluten-free, casein-free diet. And
I think we lost Dr. Scarron again. I think what we're going to do is we would do to take a break in a minute anyway, and I apologize for these technical difficulties. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and I'm going to bring Dr. Scarron back, I think, just using a landline telephone, and we shouldn't have this problem any further. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. And we'll go along with the show if we have to cover all the information.
Get everything right, get up and swing. You make me sing.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one
or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
From the iconic metabolic expert, Dr. Scott Conley, comes Physique 2.0. Physique 2.0 is the only meal replacement with MetaFX, Beta-FAOCHO. That's a long way of saying the only carbohydrate supplement that has been clinically shown to burn fat. Just like the complete milk protein in Physique 2.0 promotes fat burn, so does the carbohydrate source. This is the first ever food source that can burn fat while building muscle. What are you waiting for? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Physique 2.0 banner ad to learn more.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We've got Dr. Scarron on a landline. And we'll go along with the show if we have to, if Dr. Scarron's available, to make sure we cover all the topics. I'm getting lots of messages, Dr. Scarron. I guess you could have predicted this. It just goes to show you that there are a lot of people out there who are dealing with this issue right now.
It is. Too many. Like you said, we all know somebody who has a kid with autism, and that's scary.
I know more than one. I know a woman who both of her children have autism. I have a close family friend who's got a son with autism. I have another close friend that I know we worked together for many, many years. He was very close. In fact, he helped me name the show who's struggling with this. I mean, it's so many people out there, and it's too many. It's way too many. And you'd think that there would be a greater emphasis being put on this issue, but it's almost like people are trying to sweep it under the carpet and make it like, oh, it's just you. It's just your kid, and that's it.
Is they are. And you know, when I hear too many stories about parents who go to pediatricians and they say, you know what, you can't do anything. Just put them in a home and forget about it. And that's sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
And that's obviously not the truth. I have a message here from somebody who said, what can you do to any tricks or tips for getting children to take their supplements in the first place?
Sure. I learn best from my patients. So these are the things my patients have done to make that happen. Number one, if your kids are used to taking medicines in a syringe, you know, if you've taken antibiotics in the past, put it in a syringe and given it to them, then just put the supplements in a little bit of juice or what have you, and use the syringe because they're used to that being done and over with. Other parents will mix it into different flavors. Now, obviously, it depends on the flavor that you need to mask. A lot of parents use applesauce, but I'll tell you, applesauce doesn't mask too much.
Right.
So if you do tomato sauce, that works. If you do soy yogurt, that works. I've got other parents who will actually get an ice cube tray and either make juice pops or Jell-O cubes out of just gelatin without the sugar and put the supplements in there. So you've got it dose-dependent. But it's difficult. I understand.
Any issues with calcium and vitamin D in autistic children at all?
You know, there is research with vitamin D being low in kids on the spectrum, but, I mean, who doesn't have low vitamin D anyway? I give plenty of my kids vitamin D, but I don't see it change much. But you need vitamin D to help the immune system. And one of the big things I want to make sure we talk about today is the autoimmune attack on the brain that is not being talked about enough. There's lots of research that shows that this is part an autoimmune disease.
You know, and autoimmune diseases to me, I know what an autoimmune disease is, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, people need to understand that autoimmune diseases are brought about almost entirely by what you put in your mouth.
Sure.
It's diet related. And so, you know, you really need to be serious about this child's diet, which has to be difficult. Because I've heard people tell me, you know, that their child gravitates to certain foods and they know that these are not good foods. But if you don't feed them these foods, they won't eat anything at all. What do you do to get a child off of the foods that are no good for them?
It's tough, but the trick to it is to change how they feel and taste their food. Because obviously autism is a total brain and nervous system type of issue. And they will taste and they will feel their food differently. I mean, so many parents know that it's the texture of the food that the kids may like or not like. We can change the nervous system from the periphery going up to the brain by using amino acids and vitamins, and that will change their taste.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Are there any other top-line supplements that you look to? I mean, you said magnesium and vitamin B6, and we immediately got a response from somebody on Facebook saying that they've used that and they've seen some change. Anything else out there that seems to be in that vein of usefulness?
Let me tell you my top three supplements I use. You know, 90 to 95% of parents see a change within a week. The first supplement is GABA.
Yeah.
GABA is an amino acid that acts to calm down the brain. And we use it, it's used pharmaceutically as an anti-anxiety, but it gets into the brain, it gets into the peripheral nervous system on the outside, and it calms down hyperactivity, it helps with insomnia, it changes your taste, it makes you relaxed.
Yeah, in fact, children with ADHD have been shown to have very little brain GABA, and quite frankly, quite often dosing like 1,000 milligrams of GABA 2 or 3 times a day changes the personality of these children without harmful, you know, drugs.
Exactly, and it's not addictive, and it's great. And again, ADD and autism, you're looking at the same part of the body. It's just more severe or less severe.
Now, you said, I knew this question was coming from somebody because I have an audience full of athletes who, and we all have used things, and you did say that it's always the mom and never the dad, but could the use of anabolic steroids and or pro-hormones as an athlete, a male athlete, cause any issues that then would transfer over to a child being born with autism, you think?
You know, that's a great question, and I don't know. But the answer lies in, can those things change your genetics? And if you're changing the genes that's coming through your sperm, then that's what's going to affect your child from a male point of view.
Yeah, I don't think they change your genetics, to be honest with you.
The other thing that, I mean, I know we put a lot of the emphasis on the mother because of she's pregnant, but you as a dad are partially in control of the environment that you live in. You're partially in control of the food decisions and the toxic decisions and where you live and how you raise your child, and if you vaccinate. So when it comes to raising your child, both the mom and the dad have the input.
You know what's funny? I was at the dentist just recently having my teeth cleaned, and the woman who was cleaning my teeth was telling me about her daughter. And her daughter is 14 years old, has to go to a special school because she has a sensory disorder, an audio sensory disorder. And one of the symptoms is the texture of certain foods. And you were just talking about autism spectrum disorder. And so I said to her, I said, how old is she? 14 years old. I said, how long have you been doing this, working in a dental office? And she goes, about 17, 18 years. Mm-hmm. And I said, have you always worked around amalgam? Mm-hmm. And she goes, I know where you're going. And I says, what do you mean? She goes, three girls in my graduating class, all three of us have children with this exact same disorder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, contact with mercury. And it comes back to detoxification pathways. These women probably have high loads of mercury in their bodies, and they mm-hmm. get pregnant and they have babies.
Yep,
and the babies are in this environment of mercury. And we know that mercury damages the brain.
Sure does.
And there's so much mercury in so much today, including vaccines.
Yep.
So, you know, the reality is I don't think that parents can go, I did this to my child because I did this thing when I was a teenager. No, that's not it. What happened was you lived a normal life in a country that does not put value on toxins.
Right.
And you have the FDA who says a little bit of this and a little bit of arsenic and a little bit of this and a little, it doesn't matter. But when you look at the overall toxin load that you come in contact with day in and day out by the myriad of things that you're exposed to day in and day out for 13, 14, 20 years, and then you have a baby, guess what? There wasn't one thing that you did. So trying to find the one thing you did isn't the answer. I think finding answers to how to cope with these children and get them into a place where they can manage their own lives is really the answer. Is that a realistic goal, Dr. Scarron?
Entirely, entirely. And again, we test for toxins in all the kids. We see super amounts of arsenic. The biggest thing that I'm worried about now is aluminum, because our childhood vaccines have only a tiny bit of mercury in them. They do have mercury. Your pediatricians will say there's no mercury. The vaccine is made with mercury, and then it's quote-unquote removed, you know, like decaf coffee. But the biggest preservative in there right now is aluminum. And this is, I don't know if I mentioned this on a previous program, aluminum is what the researchers give to rats to give them Alzheimer's. Because if you want to test an Alzheimer drug, you better find a rat with Alzheimer's. There's no rats with Alzheimer's. They inject aluminum to give the rat Alzheimer's so they can test their drugs.
Really?
Yep.
And aluminum is used as an adjuvant, isn't it?
It is. In every childhood vaccine, there's aluminum.
I'll be darned. I didn't realize that that was one of the culprits. But, you know, we weren't made to ingest aluminum. Never mind, inject it into our bodies.
Right.
So why are we surprised about any of this sort of stuff? I think we've taken our health for granted in this country for a long, long time, that it was just we were stronger than nature. And we're finding out that nature's fighting back now.
And we put faith in a government and their health system that we assume will protect us, but they're not.
Yeah. The only people that the FDA is protecting is their interests with their clients. Okay, so it is realistic to think that you can help your child live a normal life when you get all these things under control. So these parents shouldn't feel that there's a sense of hopelessness, right?
Oh, gosh, no. There's a group called the Autism Treatment Centers of America, and there was a movie made on this family that created this behavioral technique. The guy's name is Ron Kaufman, and his catchphrase is, there is no false hope. There is only false pessimism. And it's entirely true because, you know, again, the hundreds, if not 1,000 kids that I've seen in my office have all improved. Their speech has improved. Their behavior's improved. Their sensory issues have improved. Their sleep has improved. Their bowels have improved. They're toilet trained. They can look at you and go from nonverbal and say, I love you, Mom. And it's great to see this happen.
How long does it take, generally?
Years.
Years.
But, I mean, obviously it depends on the severity of the child. But we can get kids talking and mainstreamed in school. And we see, that, you know, it's baby steps. A little bit, every week a little bit, every month a little bit. And, you know, I tell parents, and I would tell anybody with a kid with autism, take a one-minute video every month of your child so you can watch the changes with all your therapies. Because parents, I can't remember yesterday, never mind 3 months ago. Parents will tell me over holidays, you know, whatever holiday they celebrate, and they'll say, you know what, last Christmas, he was totally different. I remember. And the families will remember, and people that only see the kids periodically will remember. But you need to track these things because the changes are real.
Yeah. I want to take a commercial break, and when we come back, I want to ask you about the type of blood work that people should be looking at.
I'm going to run you down through my whole protocol.
What's that?
I'll run down the whole protocol.
Yeah, so that, you know, just in case, because obviously there's people who won't be able to use you as their physician, and maybe giving them some insights will help them guide their own physician. We're talking with Dr. Jared Skowron. He is the author of 100 Natural Remedies for Your Child. Dr. Skowron, what state are you in?
Connecticut.
You're in Connecticut. Fantastic. Okay, I love Connecticut. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
As the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw: the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHREMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHREMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried. Because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour, Dr. Jared Skowron. Dr. Skowron, I just got a message from somebody who's in Connecticut. I'm going to send them your information because they want to see you.
Sounds good. Here, I'll put my website up on Facebook, and I put another thing up on your our Facebook chat.
Yeah.
Which is a website called scorecard.org.
I saw that.
It's a toxicity website. You go to the website, you type in your zip code, and it tells you how many toxins you have compared to the rest of the country, and it tells you which factories are dumping it.
Wow.
You need to see it.
So what kind of blood work should people be looking to with children who have autism spectrum disorder?
I do my testing in three different categories. So the top three areas you need to test. First off is testing your toxins. So we test for mercury,
lead, cadmium, arsenic. We also do another test called porphyrin testing. And porphyrin is kind of a general analysis of your toxic burden in your body. So that's point one. The second point that we have to do is test in your digestion. So we do a stool analysis where we look for candida, we look for parasites, we look to see how you're digesting food, we look to see if you're absorbing food, we see if you're turning gluten and casein into a morphine chemical that's doping you out.
Wow.
So those kids I talked about who don't feel pain, who are all dopey and loopy, it's because gluten is activating their opiate receptors in the brain. And the third group of testing we do revolves around brain chemistry. You can test your serotonin, your dopamine levels, your adrenaline levels, your GABA levels, all in your urine. So we just collect a pee test from these kids, and we see what's going on in the brain, and we see what we need to adjust, because everything in the brain is made from proteins and vitamins. And then we test the proteins, and then we test the vitamins in the urine. So we can see all the missing pieces from a nutritional point of view. Do they have, what's their GABA levels? I can check it. What's their serotonin levels? I can check it. I can check their tryptophan going into their into that brain.
Right.
And I can, and a genetic test that we do, and everybody must do this genetic test, is called MTHFR. It checks how you genetically can use folic acid, which is essential for the brain.
So not everybody uses folic acid the same way?
No. It's if you haven't had this test done yourself, it needs to be done. Because when we get folic acid in a vitamin or we get folic acid in our food, we have to activate it, and we activate it by methylating it. So you convert folic acid into what's called methylfolate, and it's this methylfolate that's used by the brain and the rest of the body. But there's an enzyme that does it called MTHFR, and if that enzyme isn't working, like most kids with autism, they're not, it's not working, then you can't make brain chemicals, and you're going to have symptoms.
So taking folate won't change that?
Not if you've got the genetic problem, but you can take methylfolate as a vitamin, and this is my number two out of three top supplements. Methylfolate, also called 5-MTHF, is the second best supplement for kids with autism and people with neurological and psychiatric diseases. It works for schizophrenia. It works for bipolar. It works for anxiety. I had a 9-year-old who was suicidal. I gave him the methylfolate, and he was cured the next day because of this genetic problem.
So just like methylcobalamin, methylfolate is biologically available and ready to go. It doesn't have to convert to anything.
That's it.
So we should all be taking methylfolate, really.
It should be in the water. It should be in our food.
Instead of putting fluoride, which destroys the thyroid, they would have put methylfolate in the water instead.
I'll tell you. The research shows that 50% of Caucasians have this genetic mutation to some degree.
Really?
And 70% of people with Mexican and Puerto Rican ancestry.
Wow.
But not African Americans, where it's like 10%.
I wonder if melanin plays a role in that.
It it does. I never thought of this before. I'm glad you put the pieces together for me. You make melanin out of tyrosine.
Right.
So if you cannot convert tyrosine, which you need methylfolate to do it, you can't make melanin.
See, and I'm dark-skinned, so I actually have Ethiopian blood in me. I the Moors invaded southern Italy so many different times that I actually have that Ethiopian blood somewhere down the line. And that protects me. I bet you I do methylate it. I bet you I do.
You probably do.
I'll be darned.
Anybody can get this test done. You go to your local lab, and you get this test done, MTHFR.
See, but doctors, now, which leads me to this next question, because unfortunately families are burdened today financially to such a great degree.
Sure.
Does insurance cover this sort of stuff, or do they look at this kind of like, look, this is not the kind of work that we do for autistic children. We're not paying for this.
It covers all of it.
Okay.
And that's the beauty of using our conventional labs. There's a lot of alternative labs out there that do great testing, but all of this testing can be done by your local lab. And so, patients get this covered. Patients in my office get this all covered by insurance. You can check your brain chemistry. You can check your proteins. You can check your vitamins, your toxins, your porphyrins, your stool, all covered by insurance.
What percentage of kids do you see that you really just can't affect any change? And you try, you do all the things that you know, but maybe we just haven't unturned that last stone yet on helping that particular group of kids. Is it 10%? What is it?
It's, you know, it's about 1%.
Really?
Which is, yes, with a caveat, and I'll tell you what my but is. I can help anybody but the kids that have finished puberty. Because once you finish puberty, your what they call neuroplasticity, or the ability for the brain to change, stops or really slows down. So if you have a kid under the age of 10, I'm going to guarantee you we're going to make improvements. But after puberty, it's tough.
Yeah, and that you're right. And puberty is when a lot of neurological disorders show themselves quite often. When boys go through puberty, a lot of times they'll be perfectly fine, and then they'll come out the other end schizophrenic.
Yeah.
So obviously these, you know, it's amazing how the sex hormones play a role.
Sure.
In this sort of stuff, both in the etiology of the development of it, as you pointed out, that testosterone may actually be causing detoxification problems.
Yep.
And then they kind of seal the deal. You know, once they show up in the child, it's like what you've got is what you're going to have. So really, there's a critical window here for parents to get this right. What happens? I have people who've told me, you know, the kid likes McDonald's. They don't want to fight with them, so they feed him McDonald's. And they write this off by saying things like, well, he eats the kind of diet that most kids eat today, almost like that absolves them because other people's children eat this way, so we're not doing anything wrong. What do you say to them when they don't want to struggle against the tide and change so radically the way they feed their child?
You know, what do you tell somebody with lung cancer about smoking? Hey, everybody else smokes. Yeah, but you've got lung cancer. Or somebody has breast cancer. What do you tell them about soy? You can't eat soy because you've got breast cancer. And, you know, yes, your child is on the autism spectrum, but that McDonald's or that food is hurting him more than it's hurting other kids.
Right.
So you've got to do something special.
And that doesn't mean that it's not hurting. It's hurting these other kids too.
Well,
But it doesn't precipitate problems that manifest in issues that this child can't live their life normally. That's the only difference.
Yeah. Hey, I've got lactose intolerance. I can't eat ice cream. But hey, everybody else can.
Okay. So what's your heritage? What's your lineage?
Oh, I'm an Eastern European mutt. We got a combo of Russian, Polish, German, French, American, Indian. So
see that's typical of the lactose intolerance. Now I'm Mediterranean, so I thrive on dairy, and I have no lactose intolerance problems. And this is why I'm a bigger proponent for ancestral diets than perhaps the paleo diet, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because it takes into account some of the changes that your genetics have experienced through evolution of your upstream. But anyway, so it sounds to me like while there is a problem, there is hope. But in the meantime, how do we cork the hole and stop the influx of new autistic children? What message would you like to give to parents out there who are thinking about having children and are scared to heck, rightfully so?
Well, you know, my wife and I are planning on having children soon, and we have that same question to ourselves. You know, I've got the burden of knowledge where every day, Monday through Friday, I see kids with autism, and boy, I don't want that to be my child, and nobody wants it to be their child. So what are we doing? To give an example, what are we doing that's going to make things different? Number one, we have started cleaning up our house. We are cleaning toxins out. A few years ago, I had my wife take all the mercury fillings out of her mouth. She's been detoxing for the past few years. We get our house clean. We live in a clean area. Number two, obviously, we are feeding her with the best nutrients possible. So she's got the best nutrients for our child. When it comes to vaccines, we are going to give preservative-free vaccines. And I wanted to mention briefly about something called molecular mimicry, which is where, you know, take this into consideration. When you get a vaccine, let's say hepatitis B, that's the first vaccine you get, you're going to become immune to hepatitis B because your body is going to create antibodies to hepatitis B, and you can test for those antibodies to show that you're immune. How do we know we're not creating antibodies to all the preservatives and adjuvants in that vaccine? How do you know I don't make aluminum antibodies or formaldehyde antibodies or mercury antibodies?
Mm.
And do those items, like aluminum, look like our brain? And now is my immune attacking our brain because it thinks it's aluminum or it thinks it's mercury. Or maybe some aluminum or mercury I got from mom in my prenatal environment is in my brain and my immune system is attacking it.
Yes.
Just like when we get strep throat
and then the immune system attacks our mitral valve in our heart or our kidneys. I mean, this molecular mimicry is very understood when it comes to strep and cardiac valvular issues, but I think we're ignoring it when it comes to the brain. This is what PANDAS is. You know, PANDAS
right.
was talked about after those girls in New York started getting Tourette symptoms. It's PANDAS, and we're ignoring it in autism.
And this is what autoimmune disorder is.
Yeah.
There's something in your body that shouldn't be there, but it looks like something in your body that should be there, and your body goes out to attack it, and the innocent bystander gets killed as well.
You got it.
And that's exactly what this is. That's what's going on. We have some questions here I want to get in before the end of the show.
All right, good, good.
The first one, he asked that I not use his name. I respect that. He said, my son has the most problems with social and communication skills.
Yep.
He is a visual stimmer. I don't know what that means, and still only speaks very few words. Just curious what the doctor has to say in helping social and communication issues. We are doing verbal therapies and some ABA therapy. I don't know what that is.
Yep. ABA is a specific type of autism behavioral occupational therapy. The way to help social issues, or let's step back for the cause of social issues. Kids with autism are in fight or flight. They are stimulated with cortisol that won't stop because they're scared, and they don't want to socialize because they are in this perpetual fear state. So we need to stop the fear from a neurological standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I actually put together a combination vitamin called Spectrum Awakening, which has all the proteins and vitamins that our brain needs to calm down and relax. It's got GABA, 5-HTP, P5P, methyl B12, 5-MTHF. You give any of those individually or in combination, and you're going to calm down the fear. And that's when they will start to open up socially. But I would still put them on some type of diet, like gluten-free, casein-free, and get the stool analysis done. Again, you can do that full boatload of testing I talked about, or just go for these vitamin and amino acids.
And see which work. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have to believe cutting grains out is critical personally, because we know that grains are pro-inflammatory.
Sure.
They are not healthy. And I have to believe that they are at the root of a lot of these disorders. One other question here. What is the best age to start these types of therapies? Is there a cutoff point? Is there an too early point?
The day to start is yesterday, because the sooner you start, the sooner your kids will get better, period. And don't wait. And I hate this. The pediatricians, like, oh, it's just a phase. Oh, he's just a boy. He'll grow out of it. The longer you wait, the longer that egg timer comes closer to puberty, which is when it's harder to make any changes. So, you know, get online and go to Google Defeat Autism Now, which is an organization that teaches physicians how to treat autism naturally. And it's called DAN. Find your local DAN doctor and start it now.
What do you think about Autism Speaks as an organization that is – are they truly trying to find answers, or are they just a token – organization that makes it look like there's something going on?
That's a great question. I don't know them well enough to say anything. They get news out, which is great. I'm not sure which way they're guiding the research and trying to find an answer. Just like the research that's out there, it's geared too much toward genetics. It's not a genetic issue, and we're just not getting enough info on treatments.
You know what somebody said one day on my show, and I almost wanted to slap myself in the forehead in an almost a V8 commercial-esque way. They said, you know, it takes thousands and thousands of years for one genetic change to occur.
Yeah.
Yet the medical orthodoxy wants us to believe that in just the past two generations, we have genetically morphed into these diseases. And it's just impossible. It's not genetics. It could be epigenetics, but epigenetics are a cause and effect situation. They are not etched in stone like genetics are.
No, that's a crock.
So, and so there is hope for the parents out there of these children. That's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line. Please, if you're a listener with a kid on the autism spectrum, you can improve this. You can work with a DAN doctor to help.
Can you work with people outside the state, Dr. Scarron?
Yes, I do. We do a lot of Skype visits. We do a lot of phone consults.
Do they have to come and see you the first time hands-on?
No, they don't. They don't at all. We've got people as far away as Turkey.
Really? Is this a big problem overseas, or is this just predominantly here in the U.S.?
No, another thing of the CDC,
industrialized nations across the world, Europe, Asia, it's 1% of their kids.
Wow.
It's 1%.
Oh, man. You know what?
South Korea says 2.5%.
Really?
So it's everywhere in an industrialized nation. Where we have toxins, we're a global village. There's toxins everywhere.
You know what? These kids are the canaries in the mine. You know, this is not about them. This is about all of us. We are going down the toilet. And these kids just happen to be so fragile and developing. We talk about epigenetics. We talk about how we don't know what the effects of genetically modified foods are. Only our children's offspring will show. Well, that's coming true right now. We didn't know what exposing our bodies to all these toxins would be to create better lifestyles and more creature comforts than, you know, in the 60s and 70s. Well, guess what? It just stuck its head up. It's autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah, it's here.
Oh, my God. All right, listen, Dr. Scarron, always great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Carl. Always good to be here.
For those of you who have children, 100 natural remedies for your child will save you a lot of trips, useless trips to your doctor. Get it at Amazon.com. Thanks a lot, Jared.
All right, talk.
And also want to thank Dr. David Healy, author of Pharmageddon. His message is true. It's accurate. Turn to pharmaceutical drugs only if you want to die from pharmaceutical drugs. Pharmaceutical drugs should be used as a crutch, and they should not be depended upon for a lifetime. And the pharmaceutical industry wants kids to start taking these drugs for the rest of their lives. Run from doctors whose first line of treatment are pharmaceutical drugs. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.